and open your Bibles to James chapter 2.
Come on.
And we are going to have a fun time getting into the Word today.
Yeah.
I want to start out just by sharing a little bit about the week. I don't know how your week was. I'm sure there were times you were probably down.
Preach it, bro.
Times you were probably lonely.
Come on, bro.
Times you were probably tired.
Yeah.
But you know what? As we sing that song, Be With Me, Lord.
Okay.
When you're a true Christian, you don't even have to say those words because you know the Lord is with you.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to sing it for us just to remind ourselves.
Yeah.
But God is with us, strengthening us, giving us what we need. I really had a week where I felt like God was with me. I was walking in step with the Spirit. And part of the reason I say that's because I did a lot of walking this week. And so the kids went back to school, and so I dropped the kids off at 9 a.m. at school, and I would just head downtown. Why would I head downtown? Because we believe in campus ministry in the church. And we've got Anthony who, man, that was an awesome job leading that song right there.
Yeah.
That did encourage me. And we got Joel who's in with the kids teaching today. And we've got a lot of campus students. And so we're down there around Harold Washington. And we had Bible studies down there this week. Anthony led a fantastic Bible talk Wednesday in the morning hours. I was fired up. Bro, that was a great Bible talk. And then Joe Chepeta works like 3 blocks toward the water. So Joe had these guys that were wanting to study the Bible with him during lunch. So I'd be down there with the campus guys, and I'd be like, okay, I got to walk 3 blocks, which is probably 5 minutes. For me, it's a little longer, but I walked it. And I got up there, and we were doing some Bible studies, and then I just keep walking, sharing my faith. And it was so cool. I left the time with one of those guys, and I called up a guy, Christopher. We met like a year ago down south, and a friend of ours, a mutual friend, hooked us up. So I'm walking by, and I call him. I said, are you in school? He goes, I just got out. So we got some time together, walked uptown, and then I ended up walking because he wanted to go to Staples. Being the good college student, he needed to go over there and get a dish rack. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Awesome. So we thought, well, I better go with you and make sure you get a dish rack. So we went to Target, and Elvis, of course, works at Target. He's the security guard at Target. And so I went over to him, and of course, he's been visiting, studying the Bible. So I went to say hi to him. He calls another guy over. That's also named Chris, by the way. We're getting a lot of Chris's around here, so it's getting confusing. He called this guy over, and he starts telling him all about the Bible studies, all about church, and he starts just saying, sharing about how so many of you sold your homes to move here to start the church. This 19-year-old kid gives me a hug right there. He was fired up to see people were making sacrifices for God. And then Elvis says, give me an invitation. Because he's out of invitations. And he gave it to this guy. And the guy looks at it and he says, I've seen this. I saw this over at Starbucks. I said, did someone give it to you? No, I just saw it sitting on the table. So I picked it up and I put it in my pocket. Isn't that awesome? And they're like, well, you know, maybe we gave it to someone and they didn't really want it. So they put it down. But it found someone that wanted it. Amen? Then I was sharing that with Greg, and Greg got honest with me about how sometimes when he gets off the subway, he'll just leave one on the seat and see who finds it. So, amen, there's many ways to share your faith and invite people to church. Amen. So it's a great week. And then, of course, Friday night we had Campusine Devotional. What a rocking time that was. There were so many guests out visiting and learning about God with us. So I can't wait for next Sunday with Teen Campus Sunday. But in James 2, I want to share, we shared about this a little bit at Campus Teen Devo about faith the other night. James 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Interesting question. suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you said to him, go, I wish you well. Hey, keep warm, well fed. But does nothing about his physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead.
Wow.
Now let's take this question.
Wow. Come on.
The question is, somebody that claims they have faith, but there's no deeds coming from their faith. And the question is a very important question. Can such faith without deeds, save him?
No.
Obvious answer?
No.
No, it can't. Now the problem is, there are churches full of people that go and attend even regularly. And this is the kind of faith they have. They go, they sit, they listen, they leave. Can that faith save them?
No.
I believe some will go to church their whole life, and when they die, have a rude awakening, they don't get to go to heaven.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Come on.
And we've talked recently how assembly religion does not demand the kind of faith that it takes to save your soul.
Wow, come on, bro.
So what we're going to talk about today is, what kind of faith does it take to save your soul? Because that's our heart. We're glad you're here. We're going to have some food later. We're going to have some fun. But really, if we do all that and your soul doesn't get saved, it's all for naught.
That's right, bro.
We want to help people here outside in the city, their souls to be saved.
Yeah.
And so, let's take this analogy. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes, you know, keep warm, winter's coming on here,
yeah,
or daily food. And imagine if you're that person. You lack clothes, you lack food. And you go and you tell your brother or your sister, in the Lord, it says your brother here. Whether it's Hebrew brother or Christian brother, it's your brother. Whatever they're talking about. And he said, wow, that's intense. Well, be warm, well fed. I have faith God's going to take care of you. Amen.
Come on.
You're that person. Has that guy's faith done anything for you?
No.
In your eyes, is that faith worth anything?
No.
It means nothing. God says, you tell me you believe in me, but there's nothing that you're going to do because of it? It's worthless.
Wow. Come on, bro.
God is that person that looks at you and goes, uh-uh, that don't cut it.
Wow. Right.
Reading on. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do.
Come on, bro. That's awesome.
You believe there's one God. Good. You know, even the demons believe that and shudder.
Yep. Wow. Come on,
you foolish man. You want evidence? Faith without deeds is useless. And then it goes on to give a few more examples, trying to pound it in to his audience's head that just claiming to believe something and it doesn't cause action in your life, it's useless.
That's right.
It doesn't do anything for you. Why do you think he's writing, you believe there's one God, good? There had to be someone in his audience or around him at that time claiming, well, I believe there's one God, so I'm fine.
Yep.
Therefore, he's now making the argument, no, not good.
Yeah.
Even the demons believe there's a God.
Yeah.
And they're scared because of it, but that doesn't mean they're going to go to heaven.
Right.
That doesn't mean their soul's saved.
Come on.
So, I want you to leave here knowing what kind of faith it takes to save your soul. Amen? So I've got 3 points. Number one.
Come on, bro. Teach us.
Saving faith comes from personal conviction, not family tradition.
Come on.
Amen?
Come on, bro.
The kind of faith it takes to save your soul. It doesn't come because that's the way your family always did it. It comes from you having personal conviction.
Come on.
And that's what we need to talk about here. You know, in our country there are hundreds of thousands of churches. All over the place. In the U.S. It's so, as Pam said, confusing.
Yep.
It's confusing to grow up with parents who say, don't do as I do. Do as I say.
Wow. Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
So you need to be a good girl. You need to go to church. But they don't show it in their life. What do you go? That's a bunch of fakey mess. What's that? It's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a kid can spot it a mile away.
That's right.
Something doesn't add up here. You know, when I read Ephesians 4:3, the Bible doesn't talk about 100 different faiths. It says there's one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism.
Right.
And when they said seek first the kingdom, nowhere in the Bible does someone ask which one.
Come on.
It's so confusing out there. And let's face it, we've all been raised so differently. We took a poll in this room. What do your parents believe? It'd be very different, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Very, very different. And so, you got to understand, combined with that, who is it that leads the whole world astray?
Satan.
Yeah. What was God's plan? All the way from Deuteronomy, from way back, a father would teach his child about what was right.
Right.
All about God. And raise them up, and they would teach their child. And they were, is that happening?
No.
No, far and wide, it's not happening. And I believe there are many parents trying to make it happen, but because they were not taught very clearly how to make it happen, they're unsure how to make it happen in their kid's life as well.
Right. Come on.
And so that's the pattern we're in. And it's the devil who wants to confuse people. God wants to clear up the confusion. Here's how you do that.
Come on.
Right here. You know, we have so many different churches that all hold this book up. All we have to do is read it. We get in there and read it. And whenever I do that with somebody, it's awesome. Whenever we agree, forget what you've heard, what I've heard. Let's open the scriptures and study that right out.
Come on, bro.
It's pretty clear, isn't it? Clears up the confusion. Amen?
Yeah.
Look at Mark chapter 3.
Come on, bro. Preach it.
We're going to look at Mark chapter 3. Our faith has to be built on what we believe, what we know, not on what somebody else believes. You guys with me?
Yeah.
It's okay for someone to bring you and introduce you to God, introduce you to the Bible, but then your faith can be built on that their tradition.
Right.
Whether it's your parent or somebody else. It's got to be built on your personal conviction. What you believe God wants of you. And so, let's read here and see how it was in Jesus' life. Amen? You know, Jesus was born here, and He's getting raised. And in Mark 3:20, it says, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered. That just kind of happened when Jesus entered a house.
Amen.
So that He and His disciples were not even able to eat. This was a big crowd.
Yep.
There's so many people, they couldn't even squeeze into the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? When His family heard about this, they went to join in the party because they heard it was so much fun. No, it says here, they went to take charge of Him because they said He's out of His ever-loving mind. This is Jesus! Jesus is out trying to do God's will and His own... What does it say here? It says here, when His family heard... They went to get Him.
Right.
Saving faith comes from personal conviction, not family tradition.
That's right.
If it were up to Jesus' family, they'd have grabbed Him out of there.
Right.
And set Him on a different road.
That's right.
Even in Jesus' life.
That's right.
Skip down and look in verse 31. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived, standing outside. They sent someone in to call Him. A crowd was sitting around them and they told Him, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? He said. He asked. Then He looked at those seated in the circle around Him here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, my sister, and my mother.
Come on.
Jesus had personal conviction. And it didn't come from his family tradition. You with me here?
Yep.
It came from his seeking out his Father's will. Whoever does the will of my Father, you're my family. You know, and I love that about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You know, I love the family we get to be a part of here in the kingdom. And it's amazing. When you sit down and study the Bible with somebody, and you're willing to open up the Bible and open up your lives, it is amazing how it bonds you. Yeah. You ever experienced that?
Oh, yeah.
There are guys here in this church, women here in this church, we can talk on a level, on a depth, that I can't even talk with my own physical family.
Yeah.
Because they won't allow us to go there.
That's right.
You understand?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, let me just clear something up. Is he saying you need to not love your physical family? No. In fact, he proved differently. Even hanging on the cross, Jesus took care of his mother.
Yep, that's right.
She was there with John. He looked down and he said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." He took care of his mom. Didn't matter if she was a disciple or not. She's his mom.
Yep, yeah.
And even hanging on the cross, dying for your sins, he took care of his mom. So come Acts chapter 1, his mother and his brothers are counted in the number of believers in Acts chapter 1. The only way our physical family will ever become a part of our spiritual family is if we have personal conviction.
Yep.
Isn't that what 1 Timothy teaches us? 4:16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. If you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. That's saving faith. You want to be saved? And you want to help the people you're talking to have a chance to be saved? We got to watch our life and doctrine closely. How many people you grew up in a family tradition where it doesn't call for you to watch your life closely or your doctrine closely?
Wow.
Isn't that true?
Yep. Yeah.
We got to get humble and admit that.
Come on.
I know we got children in the room. We got parents in the room. Guys, we're all God's children.
Yeah.
So let's not worry about what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Let's just worry about what we got to do right.
Yeah.
With me? That's the hope of what we have. I love my family, my parents. They did everything they could to raise me up. But if they weren't taught to be true disciples by the Word, how are they supposed to teach me? You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Once you're taught, then there is a responsibility, a personal conviction to pass that on.
Yeah.
Jesus' mother and brothers weren't in the position to teach him. They were the ones that needed to learn.
Wow.
And you know, in other parts of life, we're okay with this. My younger brother, 9 years younger than me, is a CPA.
Okay.
So come tax time, if mom and dad need help with something they don't quite understand, get to a call. Steve, teach us.
Come on.
See, we don't matter whose parent, whose child. It's just, you know how to do this tax stuff and I don't. Tell me.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Well, how about spirituality?
All right.
Why is that not the same way?
Yeah, come on, bro.
Guys, let's get humble here. And when you do get humble, and taxes humble you on out, don't they? Taxes humble you out because you know you're accountable and you know there'll be wrath if you don't do it right.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's some similarities right here in our spiritual life. Our faith has to be built on what we believe. Why do you go to church you go to? That's a question we need to ask people. Very rarely, when I ask people that question, do I get the answer. I studied the Scriptures. I came to a personal conviction on what God's church ought to be like. I look for one just like the Bible says it ought to be, and that's why I'm there.
Wow. Preach, come on.
That's rare, guys. You with me?
Yeah.
You know the answer you normally get? Because that's where Grandma went.
Yeah.
And that's where Mama went.
Right.
No, you with me?
Yeah.
Family tradition. Yes, amen. We've always been Methodist. We've always been Baptist. We've always been whatever. So what? We don't act that way with any other part of our life.
That's right.
When something's important to you, you don't just take somebody's word for it. You search it out.
Come on, bro.
And I got an awesome wife.
Amen.
Teresa is an awesome wife. We got set up on a blind date. I was living in New York. She's living in Boston. We went to that blind date. Rocked my world. It was awesome. But then she was in Boston. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? I didn't have a car. But I had a reason to want to get somewhere. And I went over to Boston. I had to borrow a car from another brother in the church who was a little older than me, a little more established in life, financially. He had a vehicular. And he had great faith in God because he loaned it to me.
There you go. Come on.
But I said, I got to get to Boston. Now, I didn't go to Boston to get Teresa because there are only men in New York City. There are no women in New York City. I didn't end up with Teresa because she was nearby or it was convenient or mama told me she's the one. Does that work with you? Not in America, amen? That ain't been working. If we want to choose, don't we? We want to find out for ourselves. You're going to make a big purchase on a house. You just buy a house mama told you to buy, you buy that house. Well, you want to find out. But with our faith, I'll just take whatever is put before me.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, guys. Saving faith doesn't come from family tradition, but personal conviction.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on, bro. Preach it.
And we can't be prideful.
Come on.
We can't stand up and go, I'm going here because I've always gone here and that's the way it is. You know what that is?
Right.
Stupid. It is just stupid. We got to decide. I got to get serious about God. I got to want to know God. I got to search this out for myself. Because when we stand before God in the end, you don't get to stand with mama. You don't get to stand with your lovely wife. You stand alone. You don't get to stand with your relatives. You know, a lot of ministers are afraid to teach what I'm teaching you today. Because it might bring persecution from blood relatives. They were talking about me. Look, again, being a Christian ought to make us better blood relatives. It ought to make us more humble, more loving.
Yep.
Consider others better than ourselves. It ought to make us a better son, a better daughter, yep, a better brother,
right,
a better sister. But the only way our physical families are ever going to be in our spiritual family is we have the courage to do what's right by personal conviction and not cower. To show the example and hope they have the courage to do the will of our Father that's in heaven.
Amen.
Come on, bro. Amen. Number two.
All right, bro, come on.
Saving faith.
Keep preaching, bro.
Has visible signs. It's not just in your mind.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
And then James 2:24 says, "You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone." That's what the Bible says. So, does your faith stay in your mind? Or does it have visible signs? You know, we talked on Friday night with the teens campus. You ever meet anyone that claims they can do something, but they don't back it up? You know, like they claim, oh yeah, I can play some football. Oh, let me on the gridiron. Yeah, baby, let's rock and roll. And you get out there and, like they ain't got much game. You know what I'm talking about? Like you talk and you claim it, but where are the deeds? You ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
How about someone says, I'm a singer. What do you expect them to be able to do? Well, that's, I think, the definition of a singer. Someone who can sing. But you've seen those American Idol auditions, haven't you? And I agree, some people just get up there and do it just to get on TV. But others, they believe with all their heart they can sing. They do. I remember this one guy got up last season. He's auditioning for the judges. He gets up there all serious. I'm going to sing. I'm going to be the next American Idol. Why do you believe so? Because I can sing. Okay, let's see it. And isn't that what it's all about? Let's see it.
Yeah.
He goes, Papa was a rolling stone. And it never put to me never. Didn't you see that guy? He sang like, and at the end, all the judges are like, and then some are like, they're trying not to laugh. And at the end, one of them commented, I think Randy commented, man, awesome, man. You like the whole choir. All four parts. You remember that?
I remember that.
Well, I can sing. Why do you think you can sing? My family always told me I could sing. There's another guy, he could not sing, but his family always told him he could. Why do we encourage people when they're not good? Oh, Sonny, you can sing. No, we can't. And let's say we're deaf. You know what I'm talking about? But sometimes we don't love people enough to just get honest with them. You know, I was converted in the performing arts ministry in New York City. A lot of performers. And I had to deal with a lot of people who want to be performers. But watching them, I'm like, you're not going to make a living in the theater. Let's be honest. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I mean, look, if you love the theater, find something to do around the theater. But this ain't going to work here. If you love someone, you're going to try to get them not living in a fantasy world the rest of their life. In New York City, everybody's an actor. So you go, you sit down, you order a pizza, a waiter comes over. So what do? I'm an actor. Okay, are you acting in anything? Can I come see you? No, not right now. Okay, you know, are you auditioning? You're out there beating the pavement? Well, not. It's been a while since I auditioned for anything. How long? 3 years. Dude, you're not an actor. You're a waiter. You're waiting on tables. You're a waiter.
Come on, bro.
But an actor has to be striving to act. Guys, are you with me here?
Yeah,
and even some of you are like, oh, why'd you say that? Because it's true.
Yeah, come on.
You need to snap out of your sentimentality. If you're an actor, you better be able to act. And if you're a Christian, you better be able to be like Christ.
Come on, bro.
So he says, I'm a Christian. But it's in their mind. There are no visible signs.
Come on.
And if we care about people and we want them to have a faith that will save their soul, then we got to go, can we talk? Let's talk about what it means to be a true Christian. If someone didn't do that for me, I would not be a Christian today. I'd still be a church-going hypocrite like so many others.
Yeah.
Thinking I was fine. Satan would love to have people sit in church thinking all they got to do is believe. I believe and I'm saved. Remember even the demons believe? And let's just try that on any other area of our lives. I believe. Right? Try that at work. Going to work tomorrow, your boss says, okay, I want you to do this, 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 and this today. You go, I believe that needs to be done. But you don't have the deeds to go with your belief. You know what your boss is going to say? I believe you need to look for another job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It doesn't work in any other area of our lives. I believe. How about this? I just let my light shine.
Come on, bro. Come on.
You know. When's the last time someone came up to you?
Come on.
Stopped you during your day and said, oh. Look at the light. My sunglasses. You are such a light. Help me to know God the way you know God.
Come on.
Guys, let's get real.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Right.
You're going to be a Christian. There got to be deeds that go along with it.
That's right.
Absolutely, bro.
And therefore, people are going to see a difference. And when they do ask you, you'll have something to say to them about why you have hope.
Come on, bro.
And faith.
Amen.
In God.
Come on, bro.
John 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth, Jesus says. Here's the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. Do you have faith in Jesus? If you have faith in Jesus, not if you believe He existed. If you have faith in Him, in His way and His direction to the Father. If you have faith, you'll do what He's been doing. There will be visible signs, and it won't just be in your mind. Now let me clear something up. Am I saying you're saved by works?
No.
No, I'm not. We do not believe that in this church. We are saved by grace.
Right.
You are not saved by works. But let me say this. You're not saved without them either.
Come on. Well.
Because true faith and true, when you accept grace, you want to live for God.
Amen.
You want to serve God.
Amen.
How about on campus? Campus. Like some polls say like 8 out of 10 campus students claim to be Christian.
Come on.
Claim to believe in God. And campus, it's hopping. I remember back in Syracuse at SU, man, you go up near the campus, it is hopping! Till Sunday morning. Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Oh, Saturday night! Woo, it's going on! Sunday morning? It's quiet. 8 out of 10 claim they're Christian. And it ain't because they have afternoon service like we do. They're sleeping in.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I'm a Christian. But you act like a demon on Monday to Saturday. Let's lay it out. I remember when I was in school and some of you on campus and you're seeing your friends how they're living. But when you invite them to church, oh, I'm Christian. As their boy comes out of their room from spending the night with her. You with me here?
Yeah.
That kind of faith will not save your soul.
Come on.
You know what? We're all praying for Jesus to come on back, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus is going to make His second coming. You know when Jesus is going to come? I'm convinced. Sunday morning. I think Jesus is going to come back Sunday morning. Surprise! It's Sunday morning! Wake up! I'm back! You know what I'm talking about? Where's your faith? It's in my mind while I'm sleeping. No, they're visible signs when you're a Christian. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody holds on to Romans 10. If I believe in my heart, confess with my mouth Jesus Lord, I'll be saved. There ain't just one scripture in the Bible. If there was, it'd be a really little Bible. You'd have read it many times.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
You've got to follow all the scriptures.
Come on.
And so what about Acts 20? Acts 26, 20. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preach they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their what?
Deeds.
Paul said, you need to repent. And how would he know when they did? Their deeds would change.
Yep.
They'd change their life. Saving faith isn't just in your mind. It has visible signs.
Come on.
You need to study the Bible.
Right. There you go.
If you don't have a faith that's based on the Scriptures,
yep.
That is working in your life, sit down and study the Bible. Search it out.
Come on, bro.
Amen.
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 You know, Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Yep.
And he's on that day, he's going to look at you and go, I never even knew you. Get away from me.
Mm.
You evildoer. It's not just in our mind, guys.
Yep.
There's got to be visible signs. We got to get serious about this book. And finally, number 3.
Come on.
And I'm going to read to you back from James, chapter 2 again.
Come on, bro. Great stuff.
Where it says in verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Another example. How's your body without your spirit in it? How useful is it? No, it's dead. It's dead. Once a person's passed, they are not going to get a lot of work done. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Same with your faith. As the body without spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is sleeping? Lifeless? No, it's dead. If there are no visible signs in your life, your faith you claim to have is a corpse. It's useless to you. It won't save your soul or propel you through the troubles on this earth that you got to get through.
Yep.
And without faith, we're not going to get through.
Yeah.
Number three is, saving faith doesn't wait for the grave to say, I'm saved.
Mm.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12.
Come on,
bro.
You know, everybody wants to sow their wild oats.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to become a Christian.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12.
Preach it.
I'm going to wait till the grave to say I'm saved.
Oh, yeah.
That is? When I'm dying, I get hit by a car, a priest is going to jump out of bushes and give me last rites and send me right up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But I'm going to wait till the end. Because I'm going to enjoy my life right up here. That's what a lot of people say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Haven't you heard that? Yes, you've heard that before.
I said it.
Amen. That's why I heard it. Amen. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1.
Come on.
Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. That's an awesome scripture.
Yeah.
You got any people that are young here today?
Yep.
Yeah.
Any youth?
Come on.
I know all the youth are over here in this side. Now I'm just messing. I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing. Amen, amen. Let's talk about when do you want to remember the Lord? Jay's fired up back there. Amen. He's sober.
He usually sits over here, though.
You need a sober estimate of yourselves, people. Okay.
Come on.
Remember the Lord in your youth. But you know, we say, I'm going to sow my wild oats, and I'll remember the Lord later in life.
Oh, boy.
I became a Christian at age 23. Grew up in church. Thought I was a Christian many years before 23. Just living my life as anybody else would. But I believe there's a God. I believe now if I'd have died then, I'd have gone to hell. I would not have saved my soul. This is serious.
Yep, yep.
We got an urgency about this.
Come on.
I look at the youth. I was talking to Ashley Bouye this week. She became a Christian so young. She was saved from so much of the garbage I lived through.
Amen.
Because she made Jesus Lord of her life in her youth. From the time I moved away from my home, 18, to New York City, from a small Texas town, I was free, out from under the parents' authority, able to make my own decisions. You know what I'm talking about? And I made them. I experimented as the prodigal son in wild living. I had so much sex at age 18, 23. I'm lucky I don't have a fatal disease. Or other kids out there. And the sad part is, maybe I do have kids out there that I don't know about. You know what I'm talking about? Because of sin.
Yep.
That we get involved in. Man, if I could have become a Christian as a teen, it would have saved me from so much.
Yeah.
Saving faith doesn't wait for the grave. Remember your Creator in your youth. Look in verse 6. This is awesome. Remember Him. Before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. Our lives will come to an end. And you know, when we face death, then we start getting serious about God.
Yeah, that's true.
But we're not promised tomorrow, guys. I remember a fella in the New York City church. He became a Christian, but then he went back to the world. Happens too often. He went back to the world, and his particular sin was homosexuality. I got a phone call a few years later. He was on his deathbed, dying of AIDS. Please come see me. If he'd have stayed Jesus Lord of his life, he wouldn't have been in that deathbed. But now he was. And with eternity facing him, he wanted to confess his sins, get right with God. And I was a young minister, how do you handle this situation? Man. So I went to him, he confessed, he said, do you think I'm alright? said, look, man, I know God loves you with all his heart. I don't know. I can't be the one to tell you.
Come on, bro.
I said, but here's a question. If today or 6 months from today, you got miraculously better, healthy, would you live as a disciple then? That's the question. Can't just be to cover your tail. Do we act that way in any other area of our life? I want to get married right before I die. Doesn't make sense. And let's just say you're a lady, ladies, and you're with a man and you won't get married. He says, I want to get married too, but I'm not ready yet. How do you feel? How do you feel? Gentlemen, you found the woman of your dreams. And she's like, oh yeah, I want to be with you, but not yet. Well, what's going on? And a year passes. Not yet. Now, what are you going to start thinking? Is there somebody else? Maybe they don't think I'm the one. I'm not good enough for them. You're not ready to commit is the bottom line. How do you think God feels about you right now?
Come on.
You believe in Him. But you're not ready to just kind of commit on His terms.
Come on, bro.
I think He feels hurt like you would.
Come on, bro.
He's there ready to commit to you.
Amen.
Ready to give you His whole life. Right now! Now is the day of salvation!
Yep.
Now is the time! He wants to pull you in. He wants to love you. He wants to take care of you. But are you coming to God for yourself? Because if you're coming to God for yourself to get your needs taken care of, you won't be ready to commit. It's like a worldly relationship. You like how it makes you feel, but you're not ready to commit to it. That's how it is with God. You know what? It's your choice. It is your choice.
Yep.
Jesus said, you've got to lose your life here to gain your life eternally.
That's right.
If you love your life so much here that you're going to wait till closer to the grave to say, I'm saved, then guess what? You can have your life here. But you will lose it for eternity.
Come on, bro.
For some that won't become true Christians here on earth, this is the most heaven you'll ever see. But for those of us that have said, I'm a Christian, we have accepted God on His terms, we've repented, we've been baptized, we're living as disciples, you may think your life here is hard, but it's the only hell you're ever going to experience is on this earth.
Come on, bro.
Because you've given up your life and you're going to receive life for eternity. And I say, amen to that right
amen.
There.
Come on, bro.
We're not promised tomorrow, guys. Some of you know the Bible studies better than I do. What are you waiting for?
Come on.
You just need to make the decision to do what's right. Now is the day of salvation. You know, when there's a fire, people get serious. Even recently, as they released more of the World Trade Center tapes, it reminded me of that day, watching those towers about to fall. People jumping from the upper floors. What would cause them to jump to their death? Because the fire was so hot in there, they had to get out of there. When the fire is getting up your back, you will jump. So how motivated are you to get out of the fire right now?
Come on.
Because if you're not right with God, and the grave comes, you're not going to be able to stand before God and give an account for the faith you have.
Wow.
The faith you've lived by. The kind of faith that will save your soul. If you've not sat down with someone and applied the Bible practically to your life, I don't care how many times you've been sanctified, glorified, justified, and blessified. You're in a burning house. You're in a bad situation. And you've got to get out of there, because that kind of faith that doesn't produce visible signs and give you deep conviction is useless and dead. Saving faith comes from personal conviction, not family tradition. Saving faith has visible signs It's not just in your mind. And saving faith doesn't wait for the grave. Say, I'm saved. Let's get some saving faith. Amen. Thank you very much.